Glad you all made it this morning in the rain. And you didn't melt. That's good. All right. So we are on question 33 of the New City Catechism. This is Sunday school class here. Let's open with a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Father in heaven, we thank you for this new day that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that we can come and spend time together looking at your word and looking at the catechism. Father, I pray that you would teach us this morning, that you would teach us about justification by faith, that you would teach us about salvation through Christ alone. And Father, I pray that you would, your presence would just be with us this morning, and that you would help me to be clear, and that you would help us to take in what you would have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we're in week 33 of the catechism class, as I said before. And the question this morning is, should those who have faith in Christ seek their salvation through their own works or anywhere else? And the answer, let's read it together, if you got your paper. The answer, no, they should not, as everything necessary to salvation is found in Christ. To seek salvation through good works is a denial that Christ is the only Redeemer and Savior. And the text that they gave us is in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. All right. And so I thought it'd be good for us just to review some of the previous weeks, get us up to speed where we're at. In the end of May and June, we started talking about who the Redeemer is. And the Redeemer is Christ. And then we dealt with that for a little over a month. And then we had a week on the doctrine of hell. That was, what week was that? The 16th of July. And then we started talking about salvation and justification by faith. Last week we dealt with what is justification and what is sanctification. And this week is kind of focused more on the exclusivity of Christ alone for salvation and talking about justification as well. So it's kind of an introductory question. Why is this such an important question to ask and to get answered? Anybody? Why is this question so important to get right also? Yeah, it's very normal for us to think that our salvation is based on something that we do, that it's some work that we have to do in order to get ourselves into God's good grace. Peg? Yeah, if we are adding anything to the work of Christ for our salvation, then that's saying that Christ's work was not sufficient. Right? Dan? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not for sure either, but that's what I normally hear, that all the other religions are based on works versus the Christian view. So if we get this wrong, we're definitely on the wrong track. Acts 4:12 says there is salvation in no one else. It says there's no other name by which we must be saved. Roger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. So this is not just an issue of the initial salvation experience, but this is an issue that Christians deal with throughout their life, that we need to keep reminding ourselves that it's not based on our work, that it's based on Christ, and that's when we are repenting. We have to regularly be turning back and saying that our justification with God is based on His work and not ours, or else we will get ourselves down the wrong path. Why should a person seek salvation at all? Okay, I guess this is just kind of like a basic question. Like, there are many people who don't believe the Bible, who seem to be having a relatively good life. Why should a person seek salvation at all? What knowledge do we have that would cause us to seek salvation? Did you say we're lost? Hope. We're hopelessly lost. Yeah. Anyone else have anything to add to that? That was well stated, Roger. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, very good. So these are things that we've been dealing with already. If you look back to question 28 in particular in the catechism. It says, what happens after death to those not united to Christ by faith? And the answer is, at the day of judgment, they will receive the fearful but just sentence of condemnation pronounced against them. They will be cast out from the favorable presence of God into hell to be justly and grievously punished forever. And so, if there's no salvation, there's no union with Christ, and there is a sure punishment to follow. Yes, Marcia. I don't know, what do you mean by inheritance? Yeah, I think all of us, to a certain degree, understand that we are fallen. But not everyone hears the message of Christ. Everyone has sin. There's no innocent person in a remote jungle who could get to heaven if he just knew about Jesus because he hadn't sinned, but he needs to hear about Jesus because he does have sin. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just speaking more generically. Yeah. Yeah. So Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need salvation because we're all fallen. We're all in sin. We're all under condemnation apart from Christ. So how does salvation relate to works? And we can just kind of discuss this a little bit, and somebody wants to explain that briefly. If someone were to ask you that question. Okay. Yeah. So we do not work for our salvation. We by faith are justified. But then after we are saved, we do work. Yeah. Yeah, so the work that we do after salvation is an evidence of that we have been born again. Okay? See that? So I did just want to say that work is necessary for salvation. Would you agree with that statement? But the question is, whose work is it that is necessary? Because all of our work falls short. But if we were to look at an illustration of someone, just an example of someone who's having a heart problem and they are having a heart attack. In order to save that person from death, they need help. They need to get them to the hospital. They need someone to work on them, to do the work, to revive their heart so that their heart will keep beating. But it's not our work that is necessary for salvation, because our work always falls short. But I just want us to see that it is work that we need in order to be saved, but it's Christ's work imputed to us. It's Christ's work given to us. It's not God just winks his eye at us and says, I forgive you. But this is necessary to see that there does need to be a work done. Christ did that work for us. Because a fallen man cannot save himself. If you look back in Genesis chapter 8, this is after Noah's flood. And God sent a worldwide flood to kill all the people on earth, basically, except Noah and his family, because every intention of their heart was evil. They were all doing evil. And this is after Noah's flood in Genesis 8, verse 21. I guess we'll pick up verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered a burnt offering on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. And this is after the Noah's flood, after he wiped out all the evil people. People's inclination is still towards evil. And we see that through all of Israel's history. We see that through just the history of humanity. We are a fallen people who need salvation. We are a fallen people who cannot save ourselves, even with all of our technology, medical advances. There's still terrorist attacks, and you read the news. It's not a pretty world out there. So we need a work to be done on our behalf, because we are unable. If you read the book of Romans, the first three chapters, what is Paul doing? He's trying to convince everyone that everyone is under sin. Everyone is under condemnation. Everyone has a problem with sin, which then is a problem with God, because he is holy. So we need an imputed work. We need an imputed righteousness. And we need that for us, because we are unable. So where do people look for salvation or peace with God outside of faith in Christ? And this can be related to before conversion, or even, as Roger was saying, sometimes after we're saved, we still kind of have this bent towards finding peace in something other than God. Where do people you know look, or where do you look for salvation? Drugs. So people look to drugs, whether they're illegal or whether maybe they're legal, but we find our comfort in something that we shouldn't be finding our comfort in, even if it's not illegal. What else? Meditation, yeah. Yeah, a lot of New Age religions or worldviews think if you can just do this spiritual meditation kind of thing, then you'll find your peace. Janelle, going to church? Yeah. They think, I've done this good work. God's happy with me now, right? Listening to me teach? Okay. I don't know if I would find much peace in that, but I'm glad you do. Yeah, so sometimes we find salvation in ourselves. If anyone's going to take care of me, it's going to be me. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to change myself, and it's going to be better tomorrow. You have that idea. You have karma. People think, well, as long as my good outweighs my bad, then I'm safe. I can rest in that. Janelle. Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of man's natural understanding that there is a place after death and that what we do on this earth does matter, but they have a wrong worldview in the sense that it's kind of like good versus bad. Roger. Yeah, that's very good. It's like one old preacher used to say, your doctrine can be straight as a gun and just as empty. So, yeah, we can put our hope in the fact that we know all the right things. And even just a personal example for me, like I thought I had really good doctrine, and so I thought I was spiritually mature. That's not necessarily true. You can have the best theology in the world if you're not caring for the people in your life like you need to be, if you're not loving God as you should, if you're not loving your neighbor as yourself, you're not really mature. Holiday. Yeah, so putting our hope in our spouse or maybe even a parent. Chris? Okay. Yeah, so chasing a sense of peace is different than actually, and getting a sense of peace is different than actually getting saved. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Okay, good. So there is that distinction also. But then also in like Romans 5, it'll say, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So we're finding a false peace when we rest in anything other than Christ for salvation. We're getting a real peace when we do find salvation in Christ alone. There's a false peace and a real peace. False salvation, true salvation. And there are 1.5 million different functional gods or saviors that we can put our hope in, that we can try and find our peace in, as we've discussed. Let's move on here, discussing the scripture. Let's look at the text in Galatians 2 here. Galatians 2, verse 16, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law." I'm just going to stop there just to point out, he's being a little bit redundant here, isn't he? It's like three times he's saying, you're not justified by works. What's it say? A person is not justified by works of the law. We have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And one commentator I was reading on this, he says that the repetition that you see in this verse is exact and it's monotonous. It's there for a purpose too. What is he? He's trying to drive home a point. Salvation is not by works of the law. Salvation is not by works of the law. Salvation is not by works of the law. It's by faith. Okay? So what is the context of this verse? If you know the kind of surrounding text, what is Paul dealing with here? Liz? Yeah, so he is dealing in some sense with people's misunderstanding of how we're justified. So that's why he's writing, arguing for justification by faith alone. He's also dealing with, he's also commenting on an interaction he had with the Apostle Peter earlier, where Peter was drifting from Christ alone for salvation. He was kind of drifting back into the Jewish law, and he was advocating that Gentiles who were saved should start doing Jewish things. And Paul is saying, don't do that. You're getting it twisted there. So Paul's confrontation of Peter in verses 11 through 14, it says, "But when Cephas," or Peter, "came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, 'If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force a Gentile to live like Jews?'" So he was kind of drifting back into this, well, we're saved, but you need to also do these Jewish customs. Okay, and Paul confronted him on that. So why will no one be justified by works of the law? And this deals with some of the things we've talked earlier in the catechism. Yeah, because no one, by works of the law, no one will be justified. So if we look back earlier in the catechism, question 13, it says, "Can anyone keep the law of God perfectly?" And the answer to that is no. Since the fall, no mere human has been able to keep the law of God perfectly. Okay, then it goes on. Did God create us unable to keep the law? And then, since no one is able to keep the law, what is its purpose? So the catechism has been dealing with our relationship to the law, and it keeps saying that, no, we cannot be justified by works of the law because we're a fallen people. We're sinful. We're broken. We can't do that. And because no one can keep the law, no one can be justified by works of the law, right? Because in order to be justified by works of the law, you have to be able to keep the law. We cannot. Janelle. Yeah. Yeah, so when we're looking for our salvation in anything other than Christ, that minimizes the work of Christ. And it's saying, yeah, what Christ did is important, but it wasn't quite enough. I got to add on these extra things. Marcia. Yeah, that would probably be a more clear way to say it. Yeah. Are you asking, is it wrong to say that justification means just as if I had never sinned? Yeah, they are. I would say yes, that's why we are justified. But justification is it's a declaration, it's a legal term. It's declaring someone to be righteous. So it's in that way it's different than imputation is where Christ credits to us. Justification is more of a declaration. This person is righteous. But he can do that because there is imputation. Does that make sense? Kelly, do you have anything to add to the finer points here? Okay, good. I don't want you guys to get off down the wrong path. Okay. No, that's okay. So if we flip ahead also to Galatians 3, if you just turn the page here, Paul continues to go on to argue why we shouldn't rely on works of the law for salvation. Galatians 3, verses 10 through 14 says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" So even if we break, in other scriptures it says, even if we break just one commandment, it's like we've broken the whole thing. Okay? Now, verse 11, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." So then why the law is added to show us our sin, right? It's added to show us how far short we've fallen. We see that in verse 19. Paul says, "Why then the law? It was added because of transgression until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was to put in place through angels by an intermediary. Can't speak. Okay. So the law was given as kind of a a medium in between before Christ would come. And then also if we look in Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 7, we see Paul also saying the law was given to show us our sin. Paul says, I wouldn't know what coveting was unless the law had told me, you shall not covet. So although the law is not, and works of the law do not save us, they do have a very important purpose. So let's discuss the answer in light of the scripture. The answer is, or the question, should those who have faith in Christ seek their salvation through their own works or anywhere else? And I think there should be a big exclamation point after the no, and it should be underlined and bold. It's like Paul's statement in Romans 6:2, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's like, no! No! So I think, we should place emphasis on the no there. No, they should not seek salvation through their works or anywhere else. No, they should not, as everything necessary to salvation is found in Christ. To seek salvation through good works is a denial that Christ is the only Redeemer. And so how does this question and answer relate to last week's discussion on justification and sanctification? So last week, the question was, what do justification and sanctification mean? The answer, justification means our declared righteousness before God, made possible by Christ's death and resurrection for us. Sanctification means our gradual growing righteousness, made possible by the Spirit's work in us. So is this week talking more about sanctification or more about justification? No. I heard somebody whisper it before. Somebody said justification. Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah, the answer would be justification. So this week's question has to do primarily with justification by faith alone. So we're dealing with the exclusivity, which means it's only Christ, and the sufficiency, meaning that Christ's work is enough. Justification by faith alone and the exclusivity of Christ alone for salvation. All right, so what does it mean to deny something? The answer says, to seek salvation through good works is a denial that Christ is the only Redeemer and Savior. What does it mean to deny something? To say it isn't true. Yeah. Liz? Yeah. Yeah. So it is unbelief. It is to say, like Marcia said, just to declare something untrue, to refuse to believe or admit, to contradict or to refute. Got that from Webster's. So to seek salvation through good works. Roger, did you have something? Yeah. So in order to not deny something, we're embracing it. So those are kind of opposites here. So to seek salvation through good works is to say that not everything necessary to salvation is found in Christ. Or to say something like this, Christ's work for our salvation is insufficient. Okay? Christ is not the only Redeemer or Savior. There are other Redeemers and Saviors out there to save us. So if we say it's okay to seek salvation through good works, or that he's not enough, we need to add something on, we are diminishing the work of Christ for us. Okay. Last question. If everything necessary to salvation is found in Christ, what do we do now? So the work is done. We're saved. We're justified. We have peace with God. Now what? And we've talked about this. Well, I mean, this is the other part. This is sanctification. What do we do now? Steve. Yeah, very good. Philippians 2. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who's working in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What else? Is there something else we can think of? Okay, so we're saved, we work. Is there something else that we can do now that we're saved? Love? Yeah. Rejoice, yeah. Very good. Seek Christ? Yeah. Yeah, so we can continue to grow. Second Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's not we're saved and now we just sit here, but we are pursuing holiness, we're seeking sanctification. But also, if you look in Hebrews 4, he tells us to rest. So there is a sense in which the Christian life is a working, we're working out our salvation. There's also a sense in which the Christian life is a very much a resting. If you turn to Hebrews 4, verse 10, we'll start out in verse 9. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. And I think that's speaking in regards to our work for salvation. We have been saved, so we do not have to work. Earlier on in the chapter, it says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have entered his, or we who have believed, enter that rest. As he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So it's by faith that we enter a rest because of the work of Christ. And it is also after salvation, after we have entered the rest, we are working out our salvation. So there are kind of two answers I was looking for. Janelle. Yeah, that's very good. A couple texts come to my mind as we think about that. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we are united with Christ. And when we are working as Christians, he is working also. And then thinking also of Matthew. Where is it? Matthew chapter 11. At the end of the chapter, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So Jesus is calling all the burdened people, all the people who are weighed down, come to me and rest. And then he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." So he's telling them, take on a yoke, and a yoke is something that you use for working, right? The oxen get in the yoke and they plow the field. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So you see, Jesus is calling the people to come and rest and take a yoke. And I'm working with you. And so there is kind of two aspects of the Christian life in which we are resting in Christ alone for salvation, but we are working out, as Steve said, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Marcia. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a very good point. We should have gotten that before, when I asked, "What do we do now? What do we do now?" We worship. That's one reason why we're even gathered here this morning, right? To worship the Lord, because of the great salvation that He has wrought for us, and because we don't have to add anything to it. And as Hannah said, that should fill our hearts with joy. We should rejoice. Janelle? Yeah, very good. So this is not just a message for us to keep to ourselves, but it's a message for us to share with others. And I think the more that we believe it, the more that you believe something, the more it will affect the rest of your life. If you really believe that a medicine is going to help your health, you're going to take it. If you kind of just assent to it, you may or may not take it. Or you may or may not go to the doctor who says he can help you. But if you really believe that doctor is going to help you, you're going to go see him. There's something's going to happen. You're going to do something as a result, right? Marcia. Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes even though we're saved, even though Christ has saved us, we still struggle with unbelief. We still struggle with believing that Christ's work is sufficient enough. And so that's why the Christian life is not just a one-time repentance. Oh, I repented back then. I'm saved now. But the Christian life is a continual life of constantly repenting, constantly turning back. If you know the sin in your life, then you know how often you need to repent daily. Peg. Yeah. Yeah. Or we think, well, some of these things are okay, but this other part's unreasonable. And we can do that very much with the Lord, too, and His Word. Liz.
Well, she's saying we think we know better, but I think a lot of times we think we
Yeah. Yeah, it's both. So we need to make sure we're getting our truth from the scriptures. Adam. Yeah. 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 You say, I'll take my chances. The doctor said, if you do this, this will happen. But you're like, well, I might be able to get by with it. So I'll eat this food that the doctor told me not to eat because it's going to throw me into chaos. Yeah. Yeah, we are children and we are sheep, which is also not necessarily a great description to be told you're a sheep. But we are, and we need the good shepherd. And we have a good shepherd who takes care of the sheep. So we need to listen to the shepherd, do what the shepherd says, trust the shepherd. He takes care of us. So let's wrap up our time here with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for our time here this morning. We thank you that Christ's work on the cross is sufficient for our salvation, and that we are justified by faith alone and not by works of the law. Father, I pray that you would help us to repent of any areas of our life where we are trusting in our own works, or we are trusting in something other than Christ alone. Father, I pray that you'd help us to repent. Help us to see those areas where we are falling short and that we would turn back to you. Father, I pray that you'd also give us a burden for others who we know, be it our neighbors or family members, who are not trusting in Christ, who do not know truth. Father, I pray that we would believe these things so much for ourselves, and that we would believe these things for our neighbor who doesn't know you, that they would compel us to go and say a word to them, even if it doesn't produce fruit in the first encounter, but pray that you'd help us to keep sowing the seed of your word, keep sowing the seed of the gospel. And thank you for this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.